The scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard the sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some ask each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeer at them, saying, "They are full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It looks like Luke was just getting warmed up last week with his description of the ascension of Christ. There was Jesus being lifted up and a cloud taking him from the sight of the disciples. There were a couple of angels who spoke to the confused Galileans as they stood staring into the sky. Luke's description that we saw last week seemed a little bit too much for us to try to portray in an ascension pageant. Then we're given this depiction of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the believers on the day of Pentecost, with all the production and staging of a made-in-Hollywood movie. The book of Acts invites us into the experience. You can almost hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind filling the room. Let's feel it against our faces. Picture the tongues of fire resting upon the heads of the believers. We are astonished, along with the believers from all regions, who hear their own languages spoken clearly. If we listen carefully enough, we may hear a message spoken in words that have meaning for us this morning as well. What we notice first about Pentecost is that it proclaims the coming of a new day for the believers. Now, there had been manifestations, remarkable displays of God's Spirit in the Bible before, of course, with sound and light and amazing special effects, as we call them today. But those events, like Moses on the mountaintop receiving the law and Jesus being transfigured, those were reserved for a few witnesses, the most inside of insiders. Here, at the dawn of a new era, the spectacular display is seen by everyone, not just the disciples gathered in a room, getting themselves together after Jesus has once again departed, not just the holiest or most faithful or the most learned, not just the believers, not just those who were with Jesus on the road or witnesses of His resurrection. Moses had stood at a distance when he saw a bush on fire in the wilderness, noticing how it did not burn up. Watching this miracle of fire, he heard the voice of God warning him to come no closer. No longer does God's warning to Moses apply. In the Pentecost story, the fire rests on each believer individually. They are no longer spectators. They are partakers, sharers of the fire. The fire is not a spectacle to be observed, but a part of who they are now. They were all now caught up in the burning of the fire themselves. To make this point, Peter turns to the Hebrew prophet Joel for his morning text. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters, young and old, slave and free. Is God still pouring out the spirit on all flesh? Or is that just a thing for biblical times that may or may not have actually happened? What do we believe? Or better yet, how can we know? Today, when we baptize little Melinda, we will be celebrating this promise of God. As the waters of baptism are poured out, we will symbolize how God is still pouring the Spirit upon her. God's grace and love are still flowing over her freely, not because of anything that she has done, not because of what she knows. It is because of this promise of God that she is included in the scope and embrace of God's love and mercy, which are still being poured out on all flesh, young and old, sons and daughters. What happens when the Spirit is poured out? Is there always wind and fire? Is the Spirit poured out only in the waters of baptism? Or is God still pouring the Spirit out upon believers throughout all their days, from days when we are young to days when we are old, and all of the days in between? Is there still an outpouring of the Spirit for Lily and Gabby and Elsa and Joshua as they graduate? Pentecost is an invitation into change. It is an invitation to dream new dreams. Like any good dream, these dreams involve adopting a new perspective on what's possible, rousing our creativity to free us from conventional expectations. These new dreams help us see that maybe what we thought outlandish actually lies within reach. That sounds a lot like where these graduates might find themselves today. A threshold of change, ready to pursue dreams. They need an outpouring of the Spirit to begin to imagine what's possible. Pentecost is evidence that God sees potential in all people. Dreaming? Well, that is our beginning to see the potential that God sees. The manifestations which accompany the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 tell us that the Spirit is a powerful force, like a mighty wind, like fire, that has been set loose in the world. The message is that the presence of the Spirit may be disruptive, disturbing to the sedentary lives with which we've become familiar and comfortable. The picture portrays the Spirit as moving in unexpected and unpredictable ways. We are to see the Spirit as a rush of new, innovative, creative, not yet seen or heard experiences. As the graduates face disruptions of life as they have known it, moving in new directions toward new experiences, there is a need for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. The charge before them is to discern the directions of the winds of the Spirit and to set their sails accordingly. Maybe the challenge before all of us is remaining ever open to the Holy Spirit, remaining open to reimagine who we are and trusting ourselves to the winds of the Spirit in ever-changing situations. While the Holy Spirit remains largely an elusive mystery, we do know this much. The Holy Spirit is full of surprises. Just when we think we have things all figured out, there is an unexpected turn of events. Just when we think we know what is coming, something new shows up. Just when we prepare for the expected, the unexpected happens. It seems necessary that we be reminded that the Spirit is like the wind. We can hear it blowing, but we don't know what it's about to do. We don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes. The same is true of the Holy Spirit and those born of the Spirit. Always moving, always changing, the Spirit often appears where and how we are least expecting it. Psalm 104. The psalmist offers us a clue as to what happens when the mystery of the Spirit of God is poured out. In Eugene Peterson translates this verse from Psalm 104 like this: "Send out your Spirit that they may spring to life, the whole countryside in bloom and blossom." The good news of the gospel is that God is still pouring the Spirit upon us, not just on Pentecost Sunday, but every day, not just in the baptism of our children, but upon all those marking milestones of high school graduation, but upon all flesh, young and old, sons and daughters. The assurance of our faith rests not only in what God has promised, but in what has become abundantly clear. God's Spirit has been, is being, and forever shall be poured out on all flesh, regardless of what valley of despair we may find ourselves in. This is the assurance of our faith, that in life, in death, in life after death, we are not alone. God is with us and is still pouring the Holy Spirit out upon all people, filling us with life and hope now and forever. Amen.